John Tyler Mitch back on the game. Just a moment here. What did bring a tear to my eye seeing on social media this weekend, I think brings up an interesting conversation about K-State hoops in the past. But a little K-State football blurb here. I happened to see this today. This really did catch my attention. You know, of all the guys that got drafted or signed free agent deals, rookie deals with NFL teams this past year, I think to me, going into it, Deontay Burton would have been lowest on my list of expectations out of any of those guys. Obviously, the two that got drafted, Jordan Willis, Elijah Lee, up at the top there, but I figured Shermichael Moore would have a good chance to at least make a bit of noise leading up to the NFL season with the Chargers, Dante Barnett with the Denver Broncos. But Deontay Burton actually had a nice little mention from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution in just some notes about OTAs and minicamps with the Atlanta Falcons, but they listed undrafted players to watch, and Deontay Burton was one. Said he was impressive over the rookie minicamp and has been in OTAs as well. So here's the thing. The Falcons are loaded at receiver. They have a very, very good wide receiver core. So if you're thinking in terms of him being out there on the field this year, I mean, I'm not sure that that's the target to shoot for. And a blurb like this obviously does not mean anything definite at all. But there's a chance, I would think, that if he is impressing like that early on here, perhaps he sneaks onto a practice squad, gets a chance to make a nice chunk of change this past year. And, hey, I just tip my cap to him because he went through a lot of ups and downs here at K-State. He was not always, I think, the most well-liked guy by fans just because there was some frustration with the drop balls and some of that. But you think about where he's come from, Manhattan High, playing in a system where they don't throw the ball all that much, getting to K-State, developing over time there, and now at least putting together a nice shot to make the Atlanta Falcons roster, it would appear.
It's nice. I mean, he did have the problems with the drop balls, but I think that we always knew that he had above-average athleticism. I mean, he's a really, really strong guy. He just crushes it in the weight room. His speed doesn't totally blow you away, but it's nice to see him getting an opportunity here because I did always feel like if he can get more sure-handed, then he'll have an opportunity to play at the next level, and maybe that's what he's been able to do.
And probably another tip of the cap to just how well the K-State program prepares guys for the NFL. We had seen Chris Harris, who plays for the Broncos, single out Dante Barnett as a guy that would have a shot to make the team when he was talking about some of the rookies that have impressed so far. I can even think back to Ryan Mueller when he was going through camp with the Chargers and the story about him stepping in and taking, I think it was Melvin Ingram's rep, you know, one of their number one defensive ends, stepping in and like taking a rep from him just because he wanted to jump in there and do it. And even a guy like that who doesn't end up making it in the NFL, they seem to draw fairly positive reviews when they do get there, even if they are at enough of a talent disadvantage that they're not going to make it in the NFL. Basketball-wise, I retweeted this, but did you happen to see the Frank Martin tweet from
Yes.
Friday?
Yes.
It's Frank Martin hugging Denny Clemente, and it says, "I just had an awesome moment during my trip to Puerto Rico. Went to see my dude, Denny Clemente, play." Look at the smile on Denny's face, man.
Oh. What's the take that you're drawing from
this? Just melts my heart. Well, you know what my take is because we prepped the show. But I love Denny. I hadn't thought about Denny in a while. I mean, first of all, obviously, these, you know, we all, Colt to Frank. I should have really just prefaced this. It's like a spur of the moment Colt to Frank meeting here in June, 2.5 months after the genesis of the Colt to Frank. But two guys that just remind me so much of the greatest K-State basketball that I've known in my lifetime. And my thought always with Denny Clemente is, I love him, I think, more so than I would based on what he did in his career, purely because he was always the guy that I knew the opponent really hated. I knew that he drove every opponent that you played, every Big 12 school, drove the opposing fan base nuts. I can't remember a guy who's played for K-State football, K-State basketball, had to be more annoying to every opponent that K-State played than Denny Clemente. Because, you know, he was pretty good. Denny Clemente was solid, obviously. Maybe I'm underselling him by saying pretty good. But he was so fast, you know, he would get up the court before you even knew what was going on and steal a layup. the biggest thing was those heat check threes that he would take. I mean, he would take just some ridiculous threes if he was feeling hot. And a good amount of the time, those were going in. Didn't feel like good shots, but he made them enough that I think with him, you obviously allow it. He was always out there on the court yelling. You know, he would just be kind of that pest, annoying guy, yelling every now and then. There was the incident with, like, Brady Morningstar that I'm sure riled some people up as well. He was a pest. He was a pest, man. And I can't remember anybody else really totally like that for K-State football or basketball, my time being a fan.
There were a lot of really, really good performances that we saw in the Cult of Frank days from Michael Beasley and Jacob Pullen, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know if in the time that I've watched K-State basketball, if I've seen a better performance than Denny Clemente's 44-point game against Texas in 2009. That day, he was absolutely unconscious, and that Texas team was ranked number 11. That was a huge win for K-State at the time. That was fun. That was as fun as anything that I've seen from K-State on the road.
Well, it certainly was, and I'm sure Texas fans probably hated him for that, but he's doing all of that while still being the pest,
right,
while being annoying, blasting up and down the floor, taking heat check threes. K-State has had good players, but you have to be a Denny Clemente type of guy, and the guy that I'm talking about, Ross Kivett comes to mind, actually, is probably the closest thing. Like, for K-State baseball, he was the guy that the other team loved to hate.
Mm-hmm.
Denny Clemente was that guy for K-State hoops. And if you're talking football, basketball, you know, football, the stars have always been, especially in recent memory here, very – they're guys that everybody else in the league had a bunch of respect for. Like, they may have been good, and you may get frustrated that they're beating your team, but you had the utmost respect for them. Colin Klein, Tyler Lockett, you know, even like Jake Waters here recently, all those guys, a lot of respect for them. Arthur Brown, Jordan Willis, all the stars have been just clean cut for the most part that the rest of the league really, really likes them. I really struggle to think of anybody that had the combination of being, one, good enough to be a problem, and then, two, be enough of a pest that it combines in that perfect formula.
You know who could have been? I think Marcus Foster would have been had he stayed around at K-State. I think that he was getting there in his freshman season because he liked to talk. He absolutely had some chatter to him, and he had the play to back it up, and then things fizzled out. But I think that he would have been if he were still here.
Could see that. I think he had that potential, at least in just the way, especially that second year, you know, when more of an attitude started to develop. It could have been heading down that path. That, you know, he wasn't all that active necessarily defensively. It didn't always seem like, and maybe I'm being unfair to him by just saying that and trying to recollect from a couple of years ago. So, you know, maybe not quite as much as Denny, but I can see where you're going with that. You had also brought up Curtis Kelly to me.
Mm-hmm.
He was another one that was pretty effective, and then also, you know, he was always whining, flailing the arms, foul calls. And I love Curtis Kelly to death because of some of that stuff. So you can see where the Denny love comes in as well. And they both played on the same team too, so building off of each other potentially. That's another one that's in the ballpark. But like football wise,
yeah,
really,
football is hard.
It's tough. L. Roberson was maybe one that by the end of his career, he had his moment with Jamal Lord out there at the 50-yard line against Nebraska, where he was really jawing and talking, and he'd wave his arms around after a big play, kind of flop the arms.
The one position that's actually had that attitude for K-State is defensive back. Duke Shelley has a little bit of that, but he doesn't quite have the star power. Danzel McDaniel used to be all over guys.
Yeah.
And, you know, people forget about him, but he was pretty darn good and had that huge pick six for K-State down in Norman in 2014. But, yeah, it's hard to come up with good guys from football.
You would think it would have to be predominantly an offensive player on the football side of things to really have enough of an effect on the game to be that guy defensively. You mm-hmm. just may not notice it.
I mean, Daniel Thomas was really, really quiet, thought.
No, yeah, he was – I don't think anybody – was really going out of their way to hate him. And really the distinction I'm putting here, you know, if your team's getting drilled by the Warriors, if you're a Cavs fan right now, I seriously doubt that you really hate Steph Curry. You may get really frustrated and upset that he is beating your team, but I think there's, for the most part, a respect level there. You'll hate Draymond Green. Draymond Green's great, but he's also a pest, running around there popping people between the legs. That's really the difference here. I'm not calling Denny Clemente dirty, but he leaned towards that side of the spectrum in terms of just being a pest. That's what made me always really embrace and love Denny Clemente and what I will remember him for. All that starting from a picture of him with Frank Martin on social media.
Stretch. That's all right.
Well, look,
it,
man.
It gets good conversation.
Yeah.
For June 12th.
Could you stop hating on our own show, please? You can't be serious before we're done. We talked earlier about Major League Baseball's draft being the least millennial thing ever. I just found an actual example here of how I think they could make it more millennial friendly. You're listening to The Game.